to this important meeting. I'm grateful to speak the last, but I hope I'll catch your attention for a few more minutes. I won't be very long. Basically, some of you might wonder what I am doing here. I'm a diplomat by training and by profession originally, but I was based in Geneva for around 5 years, where I had the great privilege of representing my country, Egypt, in international negotiations and discussions on intellectual property matters and innovation and creativity-related issues. And I'm now back to Cairo, where I'm continuing my interest in these issues more from a national perspective. But I would like to give you then a number of remarks about how I see this process evolving. I'm here more to listen. I am interested in global norms and global rules, how they affect creativity and innovation. And it is often from meetings like this that we have ideas, that we have proposals that can help us have an impact on those global norms. So just to tell you, I would like to make a few personal remarks on how I see this debate going. First, there's something that many of us don't realize, is that because the products associated with creativity and innovation have such an important economic value, such have a trade value, that we have witnessed in the past 20 years a proliferation of global norms and global rules who address creativity and innovation. Now, the problem is that these global rules are not in one place, they are not in one organization, they are fragmented in a number of international fora. We have rules of trade in the World Trade Organization that affect creativity and innovation. We have rules of the World Intellectual Property Organization. We have rules of investment. We have rules of cultural diversity. So it is very important for us as consumers, as concerned, as creators, to be able to decode these rules and how to engage with them. Now, this is how I see very much the importance of this meeting. Because we have this globalization of rules, we need, on the other hand, to build a global dialogue, a global debate between creators, for example, and consumers, such as happening now, to address these global rules, because addressing them nationally at a level is not fruitful, because we are faced with rules that will come are made globally. And that's a very important factor that is now often present. So the consequence of that is the following. The consequence of that is that national debates on rules affecting creativity and innovation are international in importance. We see, for example, that the debate in France about the licence globale is a debate that is followed in Egypt and other countries, and in developing countries certainly, but also in many countries. So we are witnessing the creative tension between how we implement those rules at the national level and how we can affect them and shape them at the global level. Now, the second thing is, this is something relatively new. I mean, if you see the way international agreements are made in this field, I mean, mostly it's about negotiators, very specialized people who meet in rooms and who negotiate international agreements before the sort of interaction we have the sort of engagement between the different stakeholders. This is a very important, this is new. And this is something that is a key that we have to preserve and we have to develop, and I'm very happy that TACD is developing this. So we saw, for example, just when the internet treaties in WIPO were made in 1996, very important treaties now that we all realize and their impact, there was not this widespread debate and discussion nationally and internationally that we are seeing now. And I'm very happy to see that for the broadcasting treaty and for many other issues we are witnessing this. Now, this also has to remind us of something that Mr. Blomqvist was saying, that it is true that the intellectual property system built on the balance, on the need to balance the rights of creators with the right of the public, but because of this historical evolution we've had, this balance was a self-perceived in general by those on the creating side. They were aware of the need of the balance, but the way it was formulated, again, because we did not have such a wide engagement of many stakeholders, was a self-perceived balance. Now, globalized rules need the kind of globalized engagement we have. Now, the second thing very important that I'm very happy to see among your discussions that the focus is on creativity and consumers. And this is something very important because there is a distinction between creativity and intellectual property. And often, for a long time, actually, we were a bit thinking that the two equal the same, that to promote creativity, you have to promote intellectual property. It took us some time to realize that, of course, intellectual property is an important tool to promote creativity, but it's only one tool. It is only a tool. So that is why developing countries in particular, in discussions on these matters, started to say from a number of years now that intellectual property is a means and it's not an end in itself. And we started to echo this in a number of international forums and international organizations, variously, such as the World Summit on Information Society, for example, such as WIPO. So you see that in the World Summit on Information Society, the paragraph on intellectual property is drafted as to put on an equal basis the dissemination of information and the protection of intellectual property. Why? Because the way the intellectual property system has been operating, we have the feeling, and many others, that it has been a bit drifting away not fulfilling as adequately its role of this promotion of creativity, and we have actually seen that in some cases it can hinder the dissemination of knowledge and have a problematic relation to it. So that's why a group of developing countries, 14 developing countries, 2 years ago decided to launch an initiative in the World Intellectual Property Organization called the WIPO Development Agenda, which is not only about development, it is about how to make first intellectual property return to its role as a tool to promote creativity and not to hinder it or not to have a problematic impact on dissemination of knowledge. And also how to explore also other tools and other venues and mechanisms to fulfill the same task of promoting creativity by making, again, this organization, we think, that should focus on it's the promotion of creativity and take only intellectual property as a means. And this also brings us to a very important issue to think about when we're addressing these issues. Now, the fact that we have globalized norms, does it necessarily mean that these rules are well suited to everyone? We have global norms, but we have countries that have very different situation economically, technologically. I mean, when we're talking about protection in the digital environment and we see the kind of connectivity rates we have, for example, in many parts of Africa, how can the rules, for example, made in Europe or in other countries who would be then taken at the global level, how can they be automatically, or we can assume that these rules will be applied in other countries and fulfill the same function? So it is all the issue of having a one-size-fits-all approach to these issues, and we don't think this is a good approach because even if it has been the case in the past because of the lack of engagement of many of the stakeholders, it should not necessarily mean that we should